Hello, this is Pastor Travis from Unity Church Magnolia. We want to thank you for joining us today for this week's podcast. We pray that it will encourage you and strengthen you for your journey with Christ. We hope to see you soon. God bless you as you listen.
We are going to continue our series on wonder. And so we have been talking about how God came in a sense of wonder and how God creates a sense of wonder in our lives. How many of you are thankful that we don't have to live a boring Christian life, but God keeps things interesting? Am I the only one God keeps things interesting every day? You know, He just does things in my life and nothing ever stays the same. And how many of you has God ever really surprised you with something? All right, so how many of you, those surprises have been pleasant? And how many times has God surprised you something that you didn't think you really wanted at the time, right? And so, but God has our best interest in mind, and He does things to create a sense of wonder and to create a sense of awe of who He is. And how many of you know that He is the God of wonders? Look at somebody and say, He's the God of wonders. All right, so we're going to continue this. Wonder, we began the series talking about signs, about how God creates signs. Even in creation, He creates signs, things like maybe a rainbow for Noah or a burning bush for Moses, and different things that happen throughout the Word in creation that God did to cause a sense of wonder in our lives. And so creation signs help us to look up. The whole point of signs created by God is for us to look up and see God for who He really is and to have a sense of expectancy in our life of what He's going to do. And then we talked about performance signs, how God did things in a powerful way. In fact, Jesus went around in His ministry doing some little things like healing the sick, raising the dead, causing the blind to see, setting the captives free, freeing the demon-possessed. These are things that Jesus did on earth, but He told us the same things that I've been doing. You're going to do even greater works than these. And so we know that God allows us to operate in signs, wonders, and miracles. And what that does is it gets us to look around and see that there are people around us that are hurting, and there's people around us that are in need. And so what God does is He says, hey, I'm going to give you the power and the ability to perform signs, wonders, and miracles so that people will see me for who I really am. But you got to look around. Somebody say, look around. I want you to do that today. I'd like for you to look around the sanctuary. Look how beautiful it is. There's faces here that I've never met before. There are people here that I've never even been able to speak to yet, but I'd love to after service. But there's also something that I want you to notice this morning. A lot of times we see the faces and the people that are here, but sometimes we forget to see the empty seats that are around us. And whenever I walk into a sanctuary and I see empty seats, I see, hey, this person right here may be someone with a broken heart. This person right here may be someone with a broken marriage. This person right here may have a financial need. And so God wants us to look around. Somebody say it again. Look around and see that there are people who are hurting and in need. If you go to Walmart, how many of you ever go to Walmart? Raise your hand. All right, now we're in church. If you don't go to Walmart, you go somewhere to get your food and your toilet paper and things like that, right? And so whenever you go, look around. Take a moment, look around and see that there are people who are in need. How many of you know it's very easy for us to get inward focused? What I need, what I feel, what I want. And it's really easy, even at Christmas time, to get inward focused about my needs, my wants, and my desires. God wants us to look around. Somebody say, look around. So we talked about signs, and then we talked last week about wonders. Signs and wonders. Wonders are different than signs in this, that wonders is simply feelings of surprise created by unexpected signs. So these are the feelings that we get as we see and participate in the signs that cause us to want to know God more. How many of you know that as Christians, we should always want to know God more? Do you realize this morning that you don't know everything there is to know about God? I don't know everything there is to know about God. And so that's why God is constantly revealing himself in new ways to us, to cause us a sense of wonder to say, there's got to be more to God than I have ever known before. There has got to be more to God than I have ever experienced in my life. Therefore, I'm going to press into him and I'm going to seek him out. The Bible says, seek and you shall. Very good. Find. I want to constantly be finding out things about God that I never knew before. Just like in my marriage, I find things out about Pamela that I never knew before. And I've heard people say they've been married for 50 or 60 years, and they are still finding out things about their spouse that they never knew before. I think that's an amazing love relationship, and that's the kind of relationship that God desires with us. And so this is what wonders are. It's also creating wonder is our responsibility. Creating wonder is our responsibility. If the world thinks that all there is to Christianity is praying a prayer at an altar and then you're done, you're finished, finito, right? Then how many knows that that's not something that's very desirable? But if the world knows that we can accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, then every day that we wake up, it's an adventure with him. And that God can do things that blow our minds, that God can exceed our expectations, then that creates a sense of wonder in the world that says, hey, I want to know Jesus. It's like this. Jesus went around healing the sick. Guess what? That caused people to come to him. God went around freeing those who were oppressed by demonic spirits. And that caused people to want to know him. How many of you know if we walk our life and we go through our life with a sense of wonder and we operate in signs, wonders, and miracles, the things that God said that we are called to do, then that's going to create a sense of wonder that is going to cause people to want to know Jesus more. So we know that wonders lead people to salvation. We talked about the early church, how many people were getting saved. Why is that? It's because the Bible says that the apostles went about preaching the gospel and demonstrating the power of God to back up what they had to say. We talked about how the world has heard the gospel message. The world has heard us talk about Christianity. We have publicized it. We have marketed it. We've done a great job talking about Christianity. But I believe that the world is waiting for Christianity to be demonstrated in a real and powerful way. Because the world is looking for something that's real. Can somebody say amen? Somebody shout the word wonders. So today we saw a great play by the kids about the Star of Bethlehem and how God used that star to point people to Jesus. And so what we know is that the Star of Bethlehem created a sense of wonder that led people to Jesus. Do you know that the Bible says that you are the light of the world? Shane talked about this a little bit earlier, but as we were getting ready to receive the offering, that God has called us the light of the world. Why are we the light of the world? Because we should be drawing people to Jesus. We are the light of the world. Look at somebody and say, you're the light of the world. And so today I want to continue this by speaking on the topic expectancy. Expectancy. I want you to look at somebody and just ask them, what are you expecting today? You know, what we found out is people go to church for all kinds of reasons, with different expectations. And we go to church. Some people go to church because they want to connect with God. Some people want to go to church because they want to sing some worship songs. Some people go to church because they want to hear a really handsome, attractive, sharp-looking pastor present the Word of God in a powerful and relevant and effective way. And I'm glad you did that because you're going to get that today. And so I want to fulfill your expectations. And so at least that's why my wife comes. I don't know why any of the rest of you come. I don't know. Just kidding. We all come with different expectations. Some of us come to church because we just need relationship, or we want friendship, or some of us come to church because we want the pastor to shake our hands, or we want somebody to pray for us because we're going through a hard time. A lot of us come to church with different expectations, and what we're going to talk about is what expectation does for us and why it's so important to have the right expectations. Matthew 2, verse 1 through 2 says this: Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men from the eastern lands arrived in Jerusalem asking, "Where is the newborn king of the Jews? We saw his star as it rose, and we have come to worship him." We have come to worship him. Why did the wise men come? To worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Because they saw a star in the sky. And we know that out in the fields, the angels came and they sang and they declared the goodness of God. And they created an expectancy in the shepherds to say, hey, something is happening. Something is changing. God is on the move. And what we have been waiting for all this time is coming to pass tonight. Can I tell you, the great story behind the shepherds is not that they were in the fields. It's not what they did. And I can guarantee you it doesn't look like a manger scene that we have seen displayed all over the United States. But the great story behind the shepherds is that they had a sense of expectancy that God said he is going to send a king who is going to deliver the Jews and who is going to offer salvation to the world. And he said, when you see a star, then these things are going to come to pass. God created an expectancy, and the shepherds held on to it, and they took hold of it, and they said, if God said it, I believe it, and that settles it, and I'm going to wait with expectancy to see the hand of the Lord. What would happen if the church rose up and they said, instead of waking up this morning and saying, oh God, I got to get up and go to work. What if we got up and said, God, what are you going to do today? What are you going to do in my life today? What if we woke up every morning with an expectancy that God was going to do great and mighty things in our life? Can you imagine the shepherds every night? I believe they would look up and they would say, I wonder if tonight is going to be the night. Look, do you see that star? Wonder what if that could be it? I wonder if this is it. I wonder if this is the moment we've been waiting for. What if we came to church every Sunday morning with an expectancy of what God could do? God gave me all these promises. How many of you have received a promise from God? Well, that's good, because next week we're going to talk about a message entitled A Promise Kept. How many of you know that God keeps his promises? But if you have a promise from God, what if you woke up every day saying, I wonder if today is the day that I'm going to receive my promise? What if today is the day that God's going to fulfill the promises that he's made to me? Listen, we need to live our life with expectancy. Somebody shout expectancy. Expectancy defined is simply this: a state of thinking or hoping that something, especially something pleasant, will happen or be the case. God established expectancy very early in the Old Testament. In fact, in Genesis chapter 22, verse 18, he said this to Abraham. He said, and through your descendants, all the nations of the earth will be blessed, all because you have obeyed me. Can I tell you that, you can go to that next slide. Can I tell you that it is because of Abraham's obedience that through his lineage and through his descendants, we had a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger, who the Bible says that was the seed of Abraham. And because of that, now we are the seed of Abraham because we have been adopted into the family of Christ. So even as early as Abraham, God is creating expectancy. He's saying, hey, it's from your descendants that I am going to cause all the earth to be blessed because you have been obedient to me. I'm going to use you and your family line to do great things. God is creating expectancy. Man, I wonder, can you imagine Abraham? I wonder what that's going to be like. I wonder what that, because right now, it doesn't look like that to me. Right now, it doesn't look like this is going to come to pass in my life. Right now, I don't see how this could ever come to pass. But can I tell you, if God promises you something and God creates a sense of expectancy in your life, grab a hold to it. Don't let it go. God created expectancy in Abraham's life. We can skip on to Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. He says, all right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Somebody say the sign. Look at the next word. Look. The virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God is creating a sense of expectancy in a time that is very difficult for his people. In Jeremiah 23:5, it says, for the time is coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up a righteous descendant from the King David's line. He will be a king who rules with wisdom. He will do what is just and is right throughout the land. God is constantly, all throughout the Old Testament, building up expectancy for what is to come. We see this in movies all the time. Movies nowadays have changed. In the olden days, you know, back there in like the 1990s. No, I'm just kidding. Just barely, though. Used to, movies would start out kind of slow, right? And they would gradually build all throughout the movie until the end, which would come the climax of the movie, right? But now people have figured, Hollywood has figured out, you've got to start a movie strong in order to capture today's generation. You can't wait to the end. You can't wait to the end to draw their attention, or you've already lost them, right? And so now, if you will notice in most movies, especially the hits, okay, you're going to notice something big and dramatic is going to happen right there at the beginning of the movie. Ask Hallmark. They've got this figured out. Right? I promise you, in the first 5 minutes of a Hallmark movie, somebody's going to die, right? Or something tragic's going to happen, or something. I mean, sometimes the credits hadn't even got off the screen before somebody's dead, right? And now you got a single mom who's going to meet two guys that she's going to have to choose from, right? One's good looking and a jerk, and one's like okay, but he's kind of nice, right? And so she's gonna have to pick between, she wants the good looking jerk, who's usually very wealthy too. I don't know how that all works out. See, Pamela got the whole package. And what she's found out is the package grows over the years. You know what I'm saying? It's the gift that keeps on giving. That's what I'm saying. All right. Get back to the message here. Micah 5:2 says this. But you, O Bethlehem, Ephrathah, are only a small village. I love this. You know, I love the play, how it said, you know, the North Star was the little guy who maybe was pushed back in the corner. How many of you know that God uses ordinary people to do extraordinary things? It says, even though you were a small village among all the people of Judah, listen to this, yet you are a ruler of Israel, whose origins are in the distant past. Listen, will come from you on my behalf. Listen, God is saying, hey, even though you may think you're small and insignificant, Maybe you even feel like you have nothing to offer, nothing to offer to the world or to your people or to your family. God is saying, hey, I'm going to use you to do great things. You see, God created this expectancy in the wise men, and that something out of the ordinary was about to take place. In Numbers 24:17, it says this, I see him, but I don't see him here and now. I perceive him somewhere in the distant future. Somebody say the future. Look at somebody and say, your future is better than your past. Look, I don't see it now. I don't see the manifestation of the promise of God now, but somewhere in my future, I perceive that I'm doing better than I am today. I don't see it now. I don't see the fruit of the promise of God, but I have an expectancy that somewhere in my future, it's going to come to pass. I feel preached this morning. Listen, it says, a star will rise from Jacob, a scepter will emerge from Israel, and it will crush the heads of Moab's people, cracking the skulls of the people of Sheth. Listen, God created expectancy even early on that there would rise a star that would take care of all of the troubles of the world, because God is a God of expectancy. Expectancy was established in the wise man, and expectancy was established in Mary. God came to Mary in Luke chapter 1, verse 26, leading up to the Christmas story that we'll all be reading next week. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee. Can I tell you already, this story is very powerful, because Nazareth is an insignificant place. A place, in fact, we'll read about Jesus where people said, what good can come out from Nazareth? What good thing can come from Nazareth? You may be sitting here this morning and you may say, you know what? I've done too much in my life for God to use me. I don't deserve anything from God. God can't use me. God can't. Can I tell you that you are exactly the kind of person that God is looking for this morning? So we see he came to Nazareth. Not only did he come to Nazareth, he came in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy. The sixth month. Somebody say the sixth month. If you've ever been pregnant or had a pregnant wife, by the sixth month, things are usually not the funnest they've ever been in your household. She's getting tired. She's getting weary. And now the baby is old enough to, like, kick on their bladder and stuff like that, you know. And you got all these things that happen around the sixth month. And for Elizabeth, an angel of God came to visit her in Nazareth. And to a virgin named Mary, she was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph. Engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. And Gabriel appealed to her and said, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Why did he say that? Because he's about to tell her some news that may not be too pleasant to hear when you're an engaged woman in Middle Eastern culture. And he's about to break this news to you that things are about to change. And in 29, it says, confused and disturbed, not overjoyed, not jumping with excitement, confused and disturbed. Why is an angel of the Lord coming and speaking to me when in that culture it is uncultural and against all standards for a male figure to come and speak to a woman to begin with? And typically when we see the angel of the Lord coming, not every time, but most of the time, we see him coming and speaking to a man. This is not the usual for Mary. And it says, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Said, "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God." You have found favor with God. Can I tell you that we find out in the Word that God says that you, somebody say me, you have found favor with God. He says you will conceive and give birth to a son and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestors David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end. God has now created a sense of expectancy for Mary. Hey, Mary, even though it may seem inconvenient now, even though it may seem scary now, I don't want you to be afraid, because the son that I am giving you is going to reign. He is going to be the King of Kings. He is going to be the Lord of Lords. He is going to be the Prince of Peace. Even though you may not have peace today, I'm giving you the son who will give you peace forevermore. Even though you may not have joy today, you may be confused, you may be disturbed, but I'm giving you a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords who can bring you joy forevermore. You may be in a state in your life where you're saying, "Man, I don't see how things could get any worse. Things are not going right for me right now. I'm a little confused and I'm a little disturbed." Can I tell you that God is here this morning and he's saying, "I'm here to bring you peace and joy forevermore." You may not feel like it now, and you may be in the conceptual stages of your miracle, but God is trying to create an expectancy today that says, "What I'm trying to do in your life is far greater than anything you've ever seen before. It's far greater than your circumstance or your situation. I'm trying to create an expectancy that I'm on the move and I'm about to do things in your life." Do you see, living with expectancy creates an opportunity to experience the exceptional, supernatural manifestation of the presence of God. Living with expectancy, listen, how many people were alive during that day who were not living with expectancy like the shepherds? How many people were not out waiting for the sign that God gave them? Listen, I can tell you many times God speaks something to my life, and for a few days or a few weeks or for a few months, I'm expecting it to come to pass. But when it does not happen in my time frame, I began to lose hope. And I began to forget the promises of God, and I began to forget the things that he has spoken to me, and I began to forget how God said he's going to do what he said he's going to do, and I began to forget that things are going to change and things are going to get better. But how many people in that day were not living with expectancy? But how many of you know that the shepherds, because they had expectancy in their life, they were able to experience the exceptional, supernatural, manifest presence of God, because they had an expectancy. They had an expectancy. Look at somebody and say, "Do you have an expectancy?" Living with expectancy allows you to experience all that God has for your life. It's the people who come to church on Sunday morning expecting a miracle. They're the ones that receive a miracle. It's the people that come with an expectancy of, man, I wonder what, man, they come with an expectancy of, man, I can't wait to get in the presence of God. I can't wait to get in there. Man, the worship team's going to play, and I'm going to raise my hands. I'm going to give God everything I've got, and there's no telling what God's going to do. I can't wait to feel His presence. I can't wait to experience God in a new way. Those are the people that are leaving this place touched and changed. It's the people that walk through those doors who say, I have no other hope. I have no other options. I got to go to the church to see if God can do something for me. Those are the people that are receiving change in their life. We've got to live life with expectancy that God is not finished with us yet, and that our best is yet to come. I said our best. Our best. Our best. Somebody say, my best is yet to come. My best is yet to come. Can you stand and give the Lord praise this morning?
Hey, thanks again for joining us for this week's podcast. If you were blessed by the message today, please join us by visiting us at ucmagnolia.com. You can see what's going on, you can give online, and you can be a part of what God's doing at Unity Church Magnolia. God bless you, and we hope to see you soon.